Welcome to WitWorks Radio. Today we're recording a special edition of WitWorks Radio. It's Friday, November 16th, but this show will actually be airing again on Tuesday of next week before Thanksgiving. I'm here joined with several of my awesome colleagues from Co-ops and Careers. You're right now hearing the voice of Abby Pober, Assistant Director of Systems and Marketing.
And this is Rhea Kalinowski, Co-op and Career Advisor.
Janelle Juba, Co-op and Career Advisor for Construction Management and Civil Engineers.
Becky Smith, Co-op and Career Advisor.
Great. And today we are going to be joined over Skype by Chris McIntyre, our External Relations Specialist, coming to us all the way from Minneapolis, Minnesota. He was previously an advisor with our team and has transitioned to this new role, and we're excited to chat with him and see what he's been up to. I think we're just waiting for him to get connected over here, and then we'll get started.
Yeah, Chris is still having a little difficulty connecting, so, Thanksgiving is coming up. So while we're waiting for Chris, what kind of things should students be doing while they're home to get ahead on their co-op or job searches?
So hopefully most juniors and some architecture sophomores are thinking about their spring co-op search and, been applying right along, met with their advisor to get access to WitWorks, get their resume approved. And, you know, having this break and time off is a great time to reconnect with any connections you may have through your family, ask your uncle, whoever you're sitting around the Thanksgiving table with, if they know anyone in the industry or they have any tips for you themselves.
Great. And make sure you apply to at least 10 jobs on the weekend.
Yeah, I have a student doing a lot of follow-up over Thanksgiving weekend. He literally applied for a dozen jobs on the 8th of November, so Thanksgiving Day will be 2 weeks afterwards. And I said, that's a good time to send those follow-up emails so it'll be in people's inboxes when they get back from work. Another thing I would like to say, bouncing off of what Rhea said about reconnecting with family, you'd be surprised what people do or who they know who does something relevant. I had a student looking for an industrial design job. In that major, there are many different things you can do that have to do with design. And we started looking up his family members on LinkedIn and discovered that his cousin actually worked for one of the companies he really wanted to work for.
Wow.
And I'm like,
nice.
Are you close with your cousin?
Yeah.
But we never talk about work.
Sure.
So reconsider. Just tell everyone what you're up to and see if they have suggestions for you.
That's a great idea.
Great, and it looks like Chris has joined us, and we're ready to get started. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us today.
We miss you on WitWorks Radio. Chris used to be one of our co-hosts. Great to have you back today.
Well, it's good to be back. Am I too loud, too quiet? Is volume okay?
Yeah, sounds good here.
Well, how is WitWorks Radio? The three of you powerhouses. How's everything going?
Great. Yeah, we've had some stellar people on. I think last week we were talking about Accelerate. Mm-hmm. And then the week before that, we talked about graduate school. We talked a little bit about first-generation college students. So we got some interesting topics.
That's good. And we have a few more interesting ones coming before the end of the semester, too.
Definitely. So today we're excited to have you join us, Chris. I was just saying that you used to be an advisor with us, and now you're our external relations specialist, joining us all the way from Minneapolis, Minnesota. And so I don't know if you want to give a quick background about what an external relations specialist is and what you've been up to.
Absolutely. So I have been in this role in Minneapolis, the actual warm climate of Minneapolis right now. I've been in this role since the beginning of July when my beautiful wife and I relocated from Boston. So this is 5-ish months doing this. So I'm still kind of figuring out as we go, but basically external relations deals with all the external stakeholders of Wentworth. The majority of my job is going to be with employers. So that would mean maintaining existing employers and also getting new employers on board for co-ops and for full time. So a lot of my work is helping the co-op office to ensure that students have ample opportunities and creating new opportunities. Another piece of my job is working with stakeholders such as alums. So not just all employers, but also working with parties such as SIPSE, reaching out to alums and connecting and basically just kind of spreading the Wentworth name and communicating with all parties who are interested in connecting with Wentworth one way or another. So as I mentioned, a lot of my job is maintenance, so maintaining those existing relationships with employers we already have. So that would be ensuring that they're posting jobs, ensuring that they are hiring our students, making sure that things are going smoothly when they're trying to get jobs up and ready. And the other half of my job is really scouting and kind of finding out new employers and new roles for students to look into. So it's kind of a balancing act, which is great. I wish I had a little bit more time for, you know, reach out and conferences and all that. But all in all, I've really enjoyed my time.
Great. Thank you. So you did mention something about conferences. Which conferences have you attended so far? And do you have any that you want to attend?
Absolutely. So my biggest conference this year was the Grace Hopper Conference. And that was a conference of literally thousands down in Houston, Texas, the week before the career fair. So timing wasn't ideal, but it was great experience. So basically what Grace Hopper is, it's the largest gathering of women in technology. So thousands of attendants, both participants, but also employers. So pretty much any big name company you can possibly imagine was there as a representative looking for new talent. And it was really inspiring for me because I saw some of the really cool things that women in STEM are doing, and I was just blown away by the passion, the talent, and just kind of the energy at Grace Hopper. So it was a lot of fun. I'm looking forward in the new year. I want to expand a little bit to see if there's anything I can go for areas of biotechnology, especially as we launch new majors off the ground, like cybersecurity and biological engineering. So kind of expanding, working with other advisors in the co-op office to figure out what are the best conferences for me to go to, including like industrial design conferences. So I really wanted to expand in 2019 as one of my goals to figure out where the best places for me to go are throughout the year.
Well, I actually do have a suggestion. You don't know yet, Chris, but NSBE, they're having a national conference in Detroit in March. So I will be attending, and you probably will be joining me.
I hope I am joining you. Detroit's a short jaunt away. It's just it's about 10 and a half hour drive, but the flight's actually pretty quick. So I would love to join you.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
Chris, are you still there?
I am still here.
Okay, good. I heard a little sound. I didn't know if it was Skype disconnecting. So I have a two-part question for you. Working remotely is part of the reality now on the job market landscape, but I'm not sure that everyone thinks of it as a possibility when they're about to move away. So I'm curious about, to the extent that you could say, how you made this happen, right? Or what your process was for creating a remote role where before you'd had a traditional office role. And then along with that, as part of the adjustment, what have you learned about communicating with the team when you're working virtually?
Sure. So to be completely honest, the reality of my work right now is 99.9% either over the phone or via email. Because technology, I think it allows me to communicate with employers and they have no idea that I'm located in Minneapolis. For example, I took my phone when I was an advisor. I brought my phone to Minneapolis with me, and I have the exact same phone number as I did when I was in the office advising students. So the number is actually a Wentworth extension. So when employers call me or call the front desk of co-ops and careers and it gets transferred to me, it's the exact same number as when I was an advisor. So employers honestly have no idea. And as an extension of that, employers don't really care because employers reach out to me and they just want to hire our students. They just want the easiest experience possible. They want to learn more. So in reality, employers don't really care where I'm located as long as I'm following up and I'm being prompt with my communication. So it doesn't really matter. I am back in Boston a few times a year. For example, I'll come back for every single career fair. I'll actually be back in less than a month. So everybody come say hello. The week of December 10th, I'll be back in the offices kind of, making my presence felt, I guess.
Can't wait to see you.
I'm
excited to see you. Yes, it's going to be a good time. I always love coming back. But the reality is employers, number one, don't usually know, and number two, they really don't care, to be honest. And I've also found a lot of employers that I work with, a lot of them work remotely too. For example, if it's a very large global organization, their HR may be centrally based in, let's say, St. Louis, Missouri, and they have offices in Boston. So a lot of times who I'm communicating with are employers or organizations who actually aren't based in Boston, but maybe they have a branch there that they're looking to fill spots with our co-ops or full-time students. So in reality, it's worked out quite nicely. I think learning how to communicate with the advisors, I think it was beneficial for me to having been an advisor for the previous 3 years, because that way, number one, I know how an advisor operates. I know kind of their ups and downs and their cycles. But number two, I actually have a relationship with each individual advisor, and I know each advisor is different. So it's allowed me to kind of figure out how they like to be communicated with. Some advisors like to be very hands-on and chat with me online every day. Others are a little bit more hands-off. So it's really figuring out the best way to communicate with each advisor. And I think the biggest thing I've learned from that is just, it's just kind of, you know, being specific about how I'm communicating and being intentional with how I'm communicating. Most of my conversations with advisors are through our chat system, through Teams or Skype online. So it makes it easy when all day I have my computer with me, where no matter where I am. So that way advisors can reach me whenever they need to. And that's the biggest thing, is just making sure that I'm available when either employers or the advisors need to get a hold of me.
Nice.
Cool. Thanks for chatting about that. And yeah, I think it has been easy to kind of communicate with you because you are so open about your process and share with us, you know, where you are with things. So we really appreciate that. So you mentioned a little bit about, you know, how you work and what's been nice about it. Do you have any challenges of the new role or of working remotely that you'd like to share?
Yes, I think the biggest challenge, honestly, is just the time difference. I am an hour behind, so that means when your day starts at about 8 or 8:30, it's 7 o'clock. So the biggest challenge for me, honestly, is just waking up in the morning, and the first thing I'll do is check my email. And that's when my inbox usually explodes. I'll have a good 30 to 40 messages because Eastern is an hour ahead. So that means that the first, you know, couple hours of my work is kind of weeding through my messages, figuring out what's the priority, balancing who to get back to when, and also, you know, going on WITWORKS and maintaining the job board to make sure that things are being approved when they need to. So really it's just every day waking up and prioritizing the exact needs, because I'm an hour behind, so that means that I need to really think critically about how I'm using my day. And as an extension of that, figuring out when I'm talking to employers or talking to the staff, if I need to give a phone call to follow up with an employer, I better do it before 3:30 my time, because a lot of employers are out the door between 4:30 and 5 p.m. So if I need to get a hold of them, I need to make sure that I'm reaching out before the end of their day. So just being mindful about when I'm doing things, because there is that time difference, both working with employers, but also working with advisors. Because if I have a question for an advisor that needs to get answered promptly, I need to get to them before 3:30, 4 o'clock my time. And so usually that means the last hour or two of my day is kind of cleaning up everything that I didn't get to that afternoon or that morning, when most of who I interact with is at home or on the way home.
Sure, that makes sense. The good thing about working remotely, though, even if you are, you know, an hour behind, is you don't have to worry about the commute time. You can just roll out of bed and work in your PJs.
I'm not going to lie, that is a very nice perk of working remotely.
Yes.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks so much for that. And then I think we're just going to go to a break and then come back and we'll chat a little bit more.
Sounds good. You're laughing.
Some of them want to use you. Some of them.
And we're back. We're back with Chris. He is our employee relations specialist.
How are you, Janelle?
I am well. I'm well. It's Friday, but I'm doing well.
So how was the, you had your Thanksgiving lunch today, right?
Yes, we did.
It was delicious.
How did it go?
It was quiet, but it was yummy. It was very filling.
That's probably one of the things I miss most is just kind of the Wentworth community. Mm-hmm. Being involved in things like, the breakfasts and the lunches and the dinners and all the celebrations and everything. So that's the one thing, not the one thing, but that's probably the biggest thing I miss outside of my interactions with the advisors and the rest of the staff.
Right. So you have to start your own little community.
Yes. We're enjoying our time out here. We do miss parts of Boston, but it's a good time. You're welcome to come visit me.
Absolutely. Thank you for the invite. So, Chris, I have a question.
Yes.
So, many of our students are currently searching for their spring co-op.
Oh, yes. Been there.
Yes. Do you have any idea about where most employers are in the hiring process?
Yes. So, it's kind of been a common theme. Employers are one of two distinct and separate camps. The first is that they're kind of wading through either the applicants that they've received or wading through the needs for their spring semester. So they're kind of finalizing what exactly they need to do for hiring, whether that means they're going to start contacting the applicants after Thanksgiving or whether that means they're going to start to put their postings up. It's those grouping of employers that really are just kind of waiting to see what their needs and what their budget is, to be honest, for the spring semester. And a lot of that's by industry too. Some, industries like to start super, super early in like August and September. Others are a little bit more on a need basis. So it's kind of figuring out, okay, we have some new projects that are going to be started in the spring semester. So that means maybe we need to hire 3 co-op students instead of 1, which we had originally planned. So that group is kind of a dominating group right now. The other group are the ones that really were on the ball. Those were the ones that maybe have larger programs, larger co-op processes in place, so they know exactly what their needs are in advance, which means they post their jobs in September. They do their interviewing after the fair in October, and they've made offers end of October, and they're kind of waiting on student decisions right now.
Okay.
So I've found that usually those in kind of the business context, those industries who have large organizations, large HR and talent acquisition departments, those are the ones who are kind of making their offers in this kind of weird window right before the Thanksgiving break. So it's depending on the industry, depending on the organization, but if students haven't gotten a co-op yet or they've put out a bunch of applications they haven't heard yet, it's not time for them to panic.
Right, I agree.
That's useful to hear because I have had a lot of, especially computer engineering students in my office lately, concerned because they have sent, over 30 applications and they haven't heard anything, or they've heard back from one or two people. So it's good to know that employers haven't really started the process. And although students may want to, you know, get things moving because they want to get everything solidified before finals or before they go on vacation, you know, back home to visit their families, mm-hmm. you know, there's nothing we can really do to push the employers to start the process earlier, unfortunately.
Yes, and after Thanksgiving, my role kind of transitions from reminding employers to post to reminding them of our deadlines and reminding them to hire and to make sure that they're doing what they need to be in terms of interviewing, in terms of making offers to students. So it's kind of this Thanksgiving shift from getting the postings up to now we're kind of transitioning into more getting the employers to actually make the offers or to kind of figuring out where they're at.
Right. Thank you.
That's good to know. I've been telling my students a lot lately to follow up within 2 weeks of their applications. This is a step that a lot of students either are uncomfortable about or they didn't know that that's normal. Mm-hmm. That's a normal part of the job application process. Do you have, along those lines, do you have tips for students about how best to interact with employers?
Well, my first tip is probably seems pretty basic, but I think as an advisor, it's something we need to stress. Make sure if you are, for example, sending a follow-up email, that you get it proofread over and over and over and over and take it to your advisor to proofread too. Because sending a follow-up email, when you have punctuation errors, when you have poor grammar, that, or you maybe you are directing to the wrong person or misspelling their name, that can be kind of a death knell for your application. So making sure that you've reread your communication, specifically if it's an email, and making sure that it's professional. So not just a one sentence, hey, where's my application at? But you're being professional, you're greeting them respectfully, you're reminding them of who you are and what your application was, and expressing interest. I think that's the other thing, is really expressing the interest in the role and making it clear that you've done your research, making it clear that you know how you fit in the organization and you know kind of your own strengths and how that's going to be of value to the company. So really thinking critically before you make the phone call or send the email about how you're tailoring your communication to each employer. Because employers, I say this all the time, I said it as an advisor and it's doubly true now, I think. Employers are kind of like students in that they want to feel like they're special. They want to feel like they're the only company that matters. So they want to be, you know, what are you going to do for me kind of thing. So thinking about when you're communicating, how are you articulating that to the employer in a professional manner?
Yeah, I think just to go along with that as well, when you're proofreading your email or your communication with them, making sure that you have the correct company that you're writing to.
I have a feeling that's the way you're saying that, that's happened to you, Rhea, or you've seen students who have done that.
Well, actually, we were on a site visit this morning, and an employer was talking about cover letters specifically in saying that, you know, it's so important for those to get proofread as well, because oftentimes she would get cover letters with either the wrong name of the company or, like, I'm excited to apply for insert position name here. Instead of the actual name of the position. So, you know, just going along with being very careful about reading that over and even maybe reading it out loud. Because I know that when I've worked on a document over and over again, it's sometimes hard to catch your own errors unless you either read it out loud or have a second pair of eyes take a look.
Right.
And I think that's a really good point. Employers know when you're being generic and employers know when you're using a template. For example, it's common for students to, as you mentioned, put, I'm excited to apply for whatever company, and then they'll bold that. They'll say, I'm excited to apply for Allurion Technologies, and they'll bold everything that's specifically related to that company, which is a dead giveaway, I've had employers tell me. So it takes a lot more effort, but the yield from that is gonna be a lot bigger than if it just threw out 50 different templated follow-up emails or cover letters.
Yeah, I agree. The employer we were speaking with this morning was saying that, and she actually showed us a cover letter from this woman who had applied originally for an intern position, got hired for the co-op, and then even though they don't hire that often for full-time, ended up as a full-time employee. And the cover letter that she showed us was very detailed, specific about the company, what the company does. It actually even started with a story about, you know, using their services. So, you know, being specific and really tailoring that can really go a long way.
I completely agree.
So kind of on a different track, are there any new employers that you've brought on board recently, Chris, or that you've been interacting with that you'd want to highlight for us?
Yeah, there's actually, off the top of my head, there's a couple that stick out. And I think it's hard for me to separate sometimes because I spent 3+ years as an advisor to computer science folks. So I think, Rhea, you and I did a lot of work on especially outreach to those kind of high tech.
Sure.
But I'm really proud of the efforts we've made in a couple different avenues, specifically the software realm, and specifically I think our business management offerings have gotten a lot bigger. And Becky, you could probably speak to that too.
I've really noticed that. Yes, Chris.
And so that's something, and again, that wasn't all my work. That was barely any of my work. That was our wonderful predecessor who did a lot of work for business management. SUFA is particularly one I'm excited about because they do some really cool things, and that's kind of in the hardware and mechanical realm. So I'm excited we're starting to expand some of those offerings too, just because I think that's the kind of area our students want to go into. And Rhea probably could speak to that too because she advises those students.
Yeah, I was actually just speaking with someone at Desktop Metal recently, and they're looking into maybe hiring, opening up some new positions as well. So yeah, it's been good to kind of collaborate and find new companies to do outreach to. And of course, we always welcome input from students and faculty if they want to contribute and, share contacts or names of companies that we should target.
And I'm excited in the biomed realm. That's obviously an area that I'd like to continue to focus on in 2019. There's an organization I'm excited about called ConMed, and that's their goal is to empower healthcare providers to deliver exceptional outcomes through innovation and through engineering. So they've had a couple postings that haven't been on WITWORKS, and one thing I really enjoy when I find new organizations and I try and reach out, I'm a geek, so I like to do crossword puzzles because I like to kind of solve mysteries. So it's fun when I see a company that maybe our advisors recommend or students are interested in. I like to kind of figure out who the contact is or who can I touch base with to kind of introduce not just myself but Wentworth and the co-op program. So kind of going on LinkedIn, going on other avenues to figure out who are the main contacts that I want to get a hold of and start a relationship that way. I love kind of figuring that out. And one I'm excited about is ConMed because they posted for biomedical engineering co-ops before but never on WITWORKS, our internal job board. So I'm starting to have some conversations with them, and they're interviewing a few candidates this week from Wentworth, and so hopefully we can get them to be a little bit more involved. But that's one of the funnest pieces about my role. Honestly, I wish I had more time for some of those pieces, just because, like I mentioned, about half my job is maintenance, just maintaining our partners and answering their emails and approving their jobs. But I really enjoy kind of the outreach piece of it to see what are some new avenues for Wentworth and the co-op and career office to explore.
That's awesome, Chris. So I'm thinking 2019. So you said you do want to have more outreach. So do you feel like that would be something that you'll be focusing on for 2019?
It absolutely is. Specifically thinking about before Wentworth's holiday break, sitting down and planning my 2019 to figure out not just our events, but also what are the conferences, what are the fairs that I want to go to that's going to bring some more of those employers on. So that would be areas and things like industrial design, biomedical engineering. Janelle mentioned NSBE. So some of the areas I want to continue to grow at Wentworth. Mm-hmm. So I know I had a conversation with Rhea about maybe some hardware type firms that we can reach out to and thinking about what are some conferences. There's a really cool one in Boston that we were looking at actually that I would love to go to. So if Robin's listening, I'm going to make an ask coming up.
So, yeah, so be creative, Chris.
Yeah, be creative, exactly. It's all about how you frame it, though, right?
Yeah.
What are the needs, and how can this conference or this whatever solve a need that we have in the office? So really being strategic.
Yes.
Good. Apparently, I'm going to Detroit in March, so that's cool.
Yep, that's already, yep. I just didn't tell you yet.
Heard it here first. All right, well, do you have any questions for us or what we've been doing with the students or anything you wanted to add, Chris?
From your perspective, can you talk a little bit, almost the flip of Becky's question, can you talk a little bit about how it's been working with an employer external relations specialist in a remote context, because this isn't just new for me, this is also new for the staff.
Sure.
Well, for me, I really haven't noticed a difference, honestly, because, you know, you're very accessible, you know, through email. And if I have a question, I can just call you. So, I mean, I really haven't noticed anything, honestly.
I can think of a few things. Little things like you Skype into staff meetings now, which is honestly kind of entertaining. Like, oh yeah, we could get the laptop and let's Skype Chris in. And I miss some things like your passwords and your infamous coffee mug.
It's clean now, okay?
No.
Well, now that we actually have I have a sink where I work now, it's easier to clean.
Yeah, he was showing us the other day when he Skyped it.
Wow, you were so positional about it before. Well, anyway, that's awesome. But I would agree with Janelle that in terms of workflow, it's almost the same. You're easy to find. Mm-hmm. And I think it's good for us to practice being inclusive as we can of someone who's working remotely and smoothing out the communication, which, by the way, for me has been smooth.
Mm-hmm. I think that it's where the world's headed, and it's already there in a lot of industries. So I think getting creative, and I think this is something to tell students too, thinking of creatively, not necessarily for co-op, but thinking about, you know, down the road in your career, because students have a long career in front of them, not just co-op, but when they graduate, who knows what kind of direction their career is going to lead them. So thinking, you know, coming up with creative solutions at your work, whether it's working remotely or something else, but really looking at a problem and flipping it on its head. So thinking about how, you know, what is the unique thing that you can give to employers, or what's a creative recommendation for a problem that they may be having?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'd like to just add a little bit, you know, of course we miss your presence in the office, and especially when you need to reach something on a high shelf, you know, you're not there to help out. But, you know, you've been so transparent about your process and what you've been doing and how you've been doing the outreach and the maintenance. And that's been really useful, I think, for us to kind of all work together and collaborate as a team.
Yeah, I agree on that as well.
You know, Chris, I don't like it because my office is empty and I'm all alone in there.
But isn't that good? You have your own office.
Yeah, that's cool, but I like sharing my office with our employee relations team, so I think you should just move back.
Agreed. I need to reach those tall with those high shelves.
I'm glad to know that's why I was useful. I'm okay with that, to be honest.
Yeah. Okay.
How are the Badgers doing this season?
Well, let's not talk about football, but let's talk about Badger basketball, who's off to a really nice start. I'm excited about that.
Great. Good for you.
Badger football is going to a bowl 17 years in a row, so at least they're going to a bowl. It's just, it hasn't been the easiest year, but it happens. Every school has a down year. That's life.
Yeah. Sure.
There's always next season.
Do you feel better that you're surrounded by people who are more in tune with your athletic interests?
I actually do, and it's funny because I the Minnesota Golden Gophers, where Kelsey, my wife, works, they are the big rivals of Wisconsin, and actually Wisconsin and Iowa, which is where I'm from. So the Golden Gophers are the biggest rivals. They have been terrible in football, so it's been kind of fun to have a rival who's been absolutely awful. So it's interesting because sometimes I'll drive down with Kelsey, and I will spend the entire day working on campus, and I'll go to different libraries on campus, or I'll go to different coffee shops. Which is nice when you're portable. And it's funny, it's just kind of weird for me to be in this environment where I grew up hating this particular university and school. So it's fun to be in a place where they appreciate college sports just as much. Nice. Although they love the Minnesota Vikings out here too.
Do you ever see any Red Sox fans out there? You know, Red Sox Nation is worldwide.
Actually, it's funny. The day after they clinched the World Series, I saw at least 2 to 3 folks with Red Sox gear on.
Excellent.
I haven't seen any Patriot stuff.
Yeah.
They tend to need to hide a little bit.
They get a bad rep.
Football's big out your way. Yeah.
Very much so, yes.
Cool. Well, I think that's all we have for today.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us, Chris, and we look forward to seeing you in a few weeks.
And Abby, have a great week next week.
I will. I hope you enjoy your Thanksgiving.
Are you going anywhere special?
Well, we're headed out to visit a friend from high school down in Philadelphia this weekend, and then all this snow has got us heading up to the mountains midweek next week before we sit down for turkey.
And is everyone else, the other three there, are you all going to be in the office next week, or is anyone taking the week off?
It's going to be pretty quiet here. I think myself and maybe Caitlin are the only ones who are going to be around.
I'll be around too. I'll be out on Monday, but I'll be here Tuesday and Wednesday.
Oh, good.
Okay. But I think it will be pretty quiet, kind of half staff.
But we're always available to students. If you need anything, feel free to stop on by.
And on that note, we are still hosting.
Their thing too, going home.
Mm-hmm. What'd you say, Chris?
The students are probably doing their thing and going home too, I'd assume.
Yeah. The Thanksgiving week, they tend to filter out starting pretty early in the week. But I do want to remind everybody that is listening that we are hosting drop-in hours on Monday. So if you're catching this on Tuesday, those drop-in hours have already passed. But if you happen to be catching us live right now, we will have drop-in hours from 1:30 to 4 on Monday. So that's important if you do want to meet with an advisor before you head home or wherever you are headed.
Your office is the best. Well, I should say my office, too, because I work for Co-op St. Careers, but that office is the best.
Right.
Our office.
Yeah, I agree.
Our office. I like that.
All right. Well, Alrighty. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye, Chris.
Bye. Have a good weekend, everyone.
You too. Bye.
Bye. Thank you all for joining us today. As I said, we're hosting drop-in hours on Monday this week, and then we'll be back to our regular schedule on the Monday after the holiday. You can tweet at us at WIT Co-ops and Careers. If you need to call the office, our phone number is 617-989-4101. Thank you all so much for joining us today and for tuning into WIT Works Radio.